Hey. Father God, we just praise you and thank you. You are God. There is no other. Praise you and thank you, Lord God. Your plan is alive and well, hallelujah, on the face of the earth, in your body, and here this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just teach us, guide us, fill us afresh and anew. Lead us into a more awareness of who this lovely Jesus is, the lover and savior of our soul. We praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Friday was my day off, and went and got a nice haircut. And before I thank you for noticing. Get your money after. And so I had a nice conversation with. It was more than nice. It was a God moment. I had a wonderful conversation with an ice addict right here on Coast Creek on one of the benches at the plaza, and you know. God has a plan no matter the state we find ourselves in. And this plan started to unfold when I was talking to this young man. And he was very open, very honest about his walk in Christ, his despondence at some point in time, his need that wasn't being met in his circumstance, finding a temporary and then all of a sudden an addiction to ice. And we talked about the saving power, the healing power of Jesus that can transform a life. And we just dialogued using scripture on both sides of our conversation because he's pretty versed in the scripture and it started to flow. And all of a sudden he says, man, dude, I'm sober. I said, what do you mean? He said, dude, I'm coming off. He said, I don't know, man, but I'm not on ice right now. Something's happened. We're talking. I'm clean, man. I'm right now. I'm not on the influence. Cool, hey. And so we were talking about this concept that I've been dialoguing. He brought it up, and I thought, okay, Holy Spirit, you're talking through my friend. You're giving me confirmation, and God wants to give confirmation in our life using multiple ways, avenues, and mediums that give us encouragement. And I want to talk about today the apostolic church. You know, there's something we declare in some of our, in our rote. It's the holy apostolic church. And what does that mean? Does that mean we're all apostles? Does that mean, you know, here we are in a wonderful time of season. We're celebrating the Passover, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb who went silent to the cross in obedience to his Father's will. And Father has a will. Papa has a will for people to be apostolic that are found in Jesus. And we're going to unpackage with the definition of this, what's an apostle and what does apostolic mean. You know, we have, you know, this office, fivefold office that's mentioned in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. There's five offices, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And so many people will give you kind of job descriptions depending on what they think or what they want you to do for each of those. But there is job descriptions in part we know for each of those offices. Jesus implemented those offices. He's the one that implemented them so that we can have a body of believers come to maturity and unity. So does anybody think we're in full maturity and unity yet? So we probably still need fivefold office and operation around the globe. And so an apostle is from a word, apostolos, in the Greek, and it means a messenger. It means an ambassador or an envoy. And Jesus actually, you know, Christianity, can I say, borrowed the word apostle, apostolos, from the Greeks and the Romans. It was actually the Greek, but the Roman kingdom empires had the word apostle as a part of their vernacular. It's not a Christianese word. It's a borrowed word of a meaning that when they would take a land, they would set envoys from the mothership, from Rome or from Greece, and they would train the conquered people who now are coming into the kingdom of Rome and Greece, that when envoys would be sent, they would train them in exactly the way it would be if they were living in Rome or Greece. So that when the ambassadors or when those dignitaries would come to, say, a foreign conquered land, they wouldn't tell, they could not tell if they were not still in Rome. An apostle was one who made the way where, can I say, kingdom was established in a land of people. And we see that Apostle Paul, you know, was an apostle of Christ. And there's many apostles mentioned throughout Scripture. But Jesus, it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus is our apostle and the great high priest. You know, Jesus fulfills all five offices. Here we go into what we call in the world the Easter season, the Passover season. Why did Jesus come? Well, what was the whole deal about the Father sending Jesus to the face of the earth, that he would be a man, totally God, the mystery. He totally suffers, he totally dies, and he totally raises again on the third day. Hallelujah! The resurrection, life, and power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, he tells them, dwells in you if you receive Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just not an automatic thing. There is a requirement that we repent and are saved. Hallelujah. We repent. Ask for forgiveness of who? Jesus. Why? Because he died sinless so that he could make sacrifice. He could be the redeeming factor to redeem. He redeems me. His blood washes me like I've never sinned when I ask him to forgive me of my sins. The most powerful act that humanity has ever experienced. The word apostolos, or as a noun, as a person who moves in the apostle office, is only found once in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings 14:6. It's an amazing commentary. It's the commentary of the prophet, and there's a commencing, if you will, of a commissioning that's seen, very powerful imagery used. In Ephesians 2:20, we see that the church is built upon something. There's a foundation. That foundation, it says, is built on the apostles and the prophets. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. But can I tell you that we're living in an age right now where true apostolic anointing is coming to the church. Real apostles are going to be shown. There's a lot of people put their hands up, and prophets and evangelists. A lot of people want the business card, but I'm talking about the real deal thing is coming. We're living in this age. But you don't have to be, can I say, you don't have to be an evangelist. How many believe this? You don't have to be an evangelist to lead people to Christ. You don't have to sit in the office of an evangelist to be a witness. We got robots leading people to Jesus, everybody. We don't call that evangelist robot. It's a robot. It's a system that's used to implement to lead people to Christ. If a robot can do it, guess what? We all qualify. You can prophesy, but you might not be a prophet. You can teach, but you might not be called to be a teacher. Those men and women that are in a fivefold office says they are a gift to the body themselves. We don't get to choose that. That's a calling that comes from a heavenly mandate. You just don't get to pick those offices. I tell you what, you don't want to sit in those offices if you're not called, because there's big demons that are there to buffet you. And if you can't handle the demons that you're not called to, it's called death. A lot of people put their hand up like it's a job. It's not a job. It's a calling. It's different. God gives you his grace, and you learn and trained. But the word apostolic is, you know, it is meant to say they're sent. Sent ones. Apostles would have been sent, or are those that are sending. You can see the word used in Luke and Acts, Luke in the book of Acts, 34 times, and you can see it also used in the Pauline epistles 34 times. Jesus was sent, if I could say, Jesus was sent as an apostle by the Father. We see that. He's called the apostle in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. We see that he was sent by his Father in Luke chapter 4:18. And in John, it's all through the book of John, John 3:17, John 17:3, John 17:8, John 5:36 through 38, John 3:34. Jesus was sent by Daddy. Father God sent the Son for what purpose? He just didn't come to stay. He came to stay and go. And in Hebrews chapter 9, 28, it says this. The first time Jesus came, he came for what? Save people from their sin. He came for sinners first time. And we're still underneath this, can I say, age of winning those who are lost into Christ. See, to be apostolic means this. You know you're sent by God. We're either an apostolic prophetic hub, which we are. We're people that send people, or we're the ones sent. That's what it means to be apostolic. Now, in God's amazing wisdom, he wanted there to be a demarcated sign and wonder called miraculous. Signs and wonders will follow them that believe. Does that mean that every believer is an apostle? No. It means that every true believer in Christ should have signs and wonders following them that believe. What are those signs? Miraculous things. And so the preaching of the word done by Paul and by Peter, Andronius, there's, you know, people that preach the word. But Paul says, I came not with fancy words, but a demonstration of. And so when God puts his seal, can I say, upon the word in the life of an apostle, there's signs and wonders that also, in the miraculous, that validate the preaching that just happened. That's a sign of an apostle. Miraculous signs and wonders following the preaching or teaching of the word. You can look it up. It's all through Scripture. But the apostolic church, I don't need to be an apostle called in that office to have signs and wonders. What I need is Holy Ghost. He is God. And I need a faith in God that produces something beyond just the preaching or teaching of the word. It's not by words. That's not by fancy words. And God's calling us as an apostolic prophetic center to get some learning, to get educated in what apostolic means, because you're called to be an apostolic church. You're called to be an apostolic people. Take water. In the book of Mark and Matthew, you can see that the 12 disciples, you know, the 12 disciples are all called, also called the 12 apostles. 12 is the number of the apostolic, God's government. We're his disciples. You know, we don't say, well, the apostles are the only apostles that God wanted. There's no more apostles. Then why do we call ourselves disciples? It says in Matthew 28, go make disciples. It's beyond the original 12. We're followers. You know the word disciple means followers, those that are in apprenticeship. It means apprentices. And we don't stay and say, well, the 12 disciples, that kind of carried on. There's 12 apostles, but it carried on as well because Paul himself never knew Jesus outside the resurrected Jesus. Saul of Tarsus didn't follow Jesus, wasn't a follower when he walked the face of the earth in man's body that he took. He met him in Acts 9 when the resurrected Jesus called to him, why do you persecute me? It was one generation, if you will, beyond, removed from. We need apostles today. Can I say more than that? We need a church that understands we are sent into our community for the purpose of sharing the good news. In Hebrews 9:28, it says his return will be to those that are waiting for him as the church. Do you know Jesus is coming back? I love celebrating the Passover season because it reminds me he's coming again. And how he's coming again is a different way than he first came, everybody. He's coming for a different reason. His next missionary trip to earth is going to be for a different purpose. You know, God can send you to a nation and you think that it's for one thing, but there are multiple things God wants to do to send you into the world you live. There's many purposes. You can have one theme and go to one country, and the next time you go, it's for a different theme and different reason. Paul took several missionary trips with Barnabas and another apostle and Silas, but they were for different reasons. God gave us the Great Commission in Matthew 28, supported by other scripture, where he speaks those words and he sends out, he's sending us out. Can we do this? Can we just get out? Can we just come out of our comfortable, nice life and have a reason to share something with someone that's beyond the weather? Have you ever watched two people talk about the weather? I always say to myself, what a waste of time. All you got to do is talk about the weather. You guys don't connect very well, do you? It's not about the weather. There's more to life than the weather. You know what I can substitute for the weather? Whether or not you know Jesus. Whether or not you know he loves you, likes you, made you, has designed a plan for you. I'm finding right now in this last couple of months, talking to people about Jesus is the easiest time I've ever had in 10 years. Easy. People are hungry. People want. I see people all the time. I'm walking, and even my girls will notice, or I'll notice, people just looking at me, like waiting for me. You're going to tell me or what? They're not just staring because of my nice shirt. Or you put your makeup on straight today. Or whatever you have externally. Have you ever noticed people looking at you now? Has anybody seen this, or am I the only one? I got some paranoia going on. Anybody know? They're kind of looking at you, and they're looking you in the eyes like, spirit to spirit, let me know, bro. What's the goal here? What's the end line? God's called us to be amazing followers because of his amazing love. How many have been touched by the love of God? Let me ask you a question. How hard is that to share that? Now, it's easy for an evangelist. It's what they're made to do, man. For the rest of us, we have to have an awareness. Here's the thing. It's amazing. Is that you read through scripture, somebody had to tell somebody first. And that had to be watered, and that had to be nurtured. And so we're not, you know, we don't have a license to be jerks in Jesus' name. No one likes jerks. It's not forcing food down people's throat. We're not bashing people upside the head. You know, my 45-minute conversation with this young man who's struggling with ice, that has a moment where there's clarity. And the word that flowed out of him, you know, at the end of our conversation, with tears in his eyes, said, man, just pray for me. I need to be free. I want to be free. But I'm addicted. And I said this, man. Jesus is able to deliver you from your addiction. But I'm telling you straight, you know Jesus and he knows you. And if you were to die as an addict tonight, you'd be in heaven with him, man. I want you free, but there's a deeper freedom than the thing that you crave that's killing you. That craving that you have on the inside, it says if you crave light, if you desire light, he promises you more light. Just keep going after the light. Just keep walking in the light. Bring the things in your life into the light as he is in the light. And I promise you that their darkness will fade away. That God is the one. You know, Hebrews, I love the book of Hebrews, eating it, devouring it. If you read Hebrews, it's pretty much summed up like this. Everything we have, everything we are, everything we do is only because of Jesus. It's not our strength. It's not our intellect. It's not our amazingly, you know, clever schemes and devices we use. God honors that. He blesses it. He's the one that gives us the devices and the cleverness and the inventions that we use. But it's all about him. It's all about his strength. It's all about his glory. The amazing news that we get to spread during this season. People know already, hey, we're in the Easter season. What's that all about? Jesus came, man. He came for sinners and he died for you and me. And he rose again. then and he lives today. He ever lives to make prayer for you, intercession for you. This apostolic stir is stirring in the globe. I desire my home church to have the understanding, to have the awareness that we're called to be apostolic. We're called to be the sent out ones. We're his ambassadors. We're his envoys. We're his representatives. We're his boys. We're his girls. You know, we sang this morning about sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Creation itself groans for the sons and daughters of God to be made manifest. That's Romans 8:19. It goes on in Romans 8:23, Romans 8:24. Creation, more than that, we ourselves are looking for this manifestation to be true sons and daughters. True sons and daughters know they're sent. We know who we are. We know there's a validation, can I say, by Jesus. Jesus loves you. What more do you need? We have it throughout Scripture. It says, go, man. Go, 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 go. It's an operative word. It's a word of action. We don't need to wait anymore for a word. Here's the word right from the pulpit, from leadership. Go. Go. Matthew 8:28-20. Go into where? All the nations. Go. We wait for the clever things. We wait for pieces of paper. Paper's great. I like this paper. I like the word of God that says that he's formed and made me for his plan and purpose. Now, you could have all sorts of callings in this room, and we do. We have all sorts of stuff going on. But it comes back to this. Jesus came to save the sinner. Jesus came to take the sinner that now is saved and make a disciple, a follower, an apprentice. You know, I think we make things really hard. I was talking to Bruce Kerr. I had a wonderful tea time with Bruce Kerr. If you don't know Bruce, it doesn't matter. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about. One of the most humble servants I've ever met. And he's just rattling. It's just coming out of him, scripture after scripture. And I'm like, slow down, dude. And I've been brought to tears three times. I got to tell him to stop. I can't drink my tea. And this revelation's flowing. This humble servant who at times doesn't think he's done anything or accomplished anything. He's just got rivers of gold. And I've asked him, please put this on podcast. And so he's done that. We're going to try to help him make it free to everybody that can listen. He's just got nuggets in there that have been developed. Can I say, in you, God's developing nuggets of gold. Just talk. You say, I don't know chapter and verse. Dude, we only had chapter and verse for 200 years. We've had, you know, holy canon for a long time. They only put the numbers in 200 years ago. Who cares if you don't know the numbers? Is it a part of your life? Have you met Jesus? Or do you just know about him? Take the know about him to bring you into, I know him. He wasn't lost. I was. I didn't even know I was looking for him. But I found pure gold. I found the difference. How many resonating with something I'm saying this morning? Something's hitting you because there's a calling. I'm telling you, it's in the air. It's pregnant. The church is pregnant with knowing that they're called to be the sent out ones. We got to bring it in. You know, the only thing you're going to take with you is your crowns of gold that are the saints that you bring with you. I'm not going to bring, there's no U-Hauls, man. You ever heard that joke? There's no U-Hauls going to heaven. There's a lot of gold, though. Crowns of gold, we get to lay at his feet. All those that we bring into the kingdom. Man, I know there's, you know, all sorts of short and faults and things that I don't measure up to and you don't measure up to. And you can give me right now 20 reasons why you can't share. But Jesus. Somebody shared with you. Somebody took the time to say, you know, hey, I'm a sent out one. They didn't maybe use that term. Now we can hear this message and you can be condemned or you can be encouraged to step out. I pray it's the latter. It's not about what I didn't do. I got so much time to do. Don't worry about the past. It's a setup for the future. We need to be apostolic. We need to be those that would step in to God's sending. Now, he's already set you up. How many live in an address? Raise your hand. You actually have an address. How many don't have an address? You live in your car. You actually have a space or you live under a tree. You live under a bridge. You're somewhere. Can I say, welcome to your mission field? He's already sent us. He's already has us living on the Sunshine Coast for whatever reason, for whatever season. We already have our field. How many have a job? How many have an address to that job? How many have people working around that job? How many know anybody? How many have ever met anybody or seen people in a grocery store? How many have ever seen someone in the grocery store? Raise your hand. Qualify. There's your mission field. Remember, it's not a license to be a jerk and just go up randomly like a scattergun. Being directed by the Holy Spirit, being wise. Luke 12:12, he'll put the words in my mouth the very hour that I need to speak. Being sensitive, because I know there's others coming. It's not the one-hit wonder. It's got to end. It's got to start and end with me. There's others coming. So I don't want to be a jerk and ruin it for the next guy coming that's going to water the seed that I'm going to plant. You say, well, I don't know anybody on ICE. They don't have to be on ICE. You say, I don't know how to handle certain situations. Who does? That's why we got Jesus, man. Here's a really awesome verbiage. Say this. I don't know. Say it with me. I don't know. There's safety in that. We think we got to have all the answers. There's many times I say, I don't know. But I'll pray for you. But let's pray now. I pray God gives you the revelation. And nowhere in Scripture do we, you know, we're there in a season we have to give an answer. I'm totally far off my notes. I don't even know if I wrote them. But anyway, is that, you know, God, he is the answer, and the answer will be revealed. But can I say, Jesus is the answer to every question. He's the solution. We make it complicated. When it's the simplicity of the gospel, your own testimony. Do you remember your testimony? Because you weren't born sitting in this chair or pew. You made a decision that something made this important. Jesus became the center of your life. There's a reasoning for that. Yeah, he took over. His spirit changed, rearranged, cut off things. Well, here we are in this amazing season. The victory, the launch of the church. Jesus fulfills the call, the mandate of heaven upon his life. And we celebrate this Passover season. What an amazing mandate. The mandate still remains, and he uses our legs, he uses our hands, he uses our mouth, he uses our lives to make impact, to say, we still have time. Everybody, Jesus hasn't returned. Listen to this. When Jesus returns, when he puts his feet on the ground, so many people want to pray, Lord, end it now, come back quickly, come today. And this is my heart. In my heart, there's something that goes, oh, because everybody I know who's not saved, even some of my own family members back home in America, some of my family members through marriage. As soon as Jesus steps feet on the Mount of Olives, it's over. It's sealed. Those that have not been saved cannot be. Don't worry about all the crappy, you know, theology that's in today. There is a heaven. There is a real hell. And Jesus came to save those who would accept him. Coming back for the church the second time. But we have time to see our loved ones come into the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We still have time. Those that we love, those that we long for to see, keep praying. Keep praying. Know that you're sent into that family for a specific purpose. You're the one who knows Jesus. Keep praying for them. You might not be released by God to say something today, but pray. Pray before you say. It's a good adage. Put it to prayer. Take it to him. You know, and say, Lord, I'm lifting up my loved ones. There's many loved ones represented this morning in this place that don't know Jesus. There's still time. Don't give up hope. There's promises in Scripture. Acts 16:31. You and your whole household shall be saved. Start declaring the Scripture over your loved ones, over your friends, over your coworkers, even the coworkers that are a real pain in the neck. You thought I was going to say something else? Gotcha. The apostolic church, knowing that she's called to be sent out, is so powerful. That's why the enemy fights, so that we won't go. That we won't be the ones that send out. I love this church because we send out. We're freely giving. We just send out. We're trying to find, hey, have you left yet? Can you leave? Please, can you leave somewhere? Go anywhere. Go somewhere. You know? Don't they like us? We love you. Just leave. Go somewhere. You know? It's a very weird kind of approach to some people. Why is it? Because we love the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we know that it impacts and changes people groups and nations. There's so many nations represented, been touched by us in this rank of people. There's going to be more. Local and state and national. People going all over the place in this country. You know, we bring the light. We're the light and the salt. Do you know that where you go, atmosphere is changing because you bring the source of change in your life of prayer. And obedience is like prayer unto the Lord. You know, intercession just isn't prayer. It's a life consecrated, living sacrifice. Living in obedience is a consecrated life that God uses to bring atmospheric change. That's why it's important to obey the Lord. And some of you have been obeying the Lord to live and to breathe and to raise your children, raise your families, have your marriage, have your friendships in this place for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. God bless you because you've been sowing into the mission field God's called you. I'm not talking just going to Tonga and Brazil. I'm talking about us being apostolic and seeing it as we can take Nambour. We can take the sunny coast. It's not just us. It's not just this wonderful expression of God's body. It's the church united, hallelujah, in Christ, being totally diverse, and that's okay. A diversified, unified body. It's not uniformity. We're not cookie cutters. We don't look the same and color the same and, you know, taste the same. It's all good. God's okay with that. You know? It's the body working. And it's the body of believers and those that profess Christ in Nambour and beyond. The apostolic church. The holy apostolic church that you're a part of. Today I'm just going to ask for a response. If you want to be a part, if you want to be stirred, or you are stirred by the Lord, something's going off in your stomach because that's where your spirit dwells. It's not your head. This is not, you know, tickling your gray matter. But something's resounding in your spirit. Something's like, hey, man, you're talking my language. Something has gone off. Something's happening. If you feel that stir, if you don't worry about it. There's no condemnation. It's not look at them and us and them. This is a moment right now. For those that are feeling the stir right here from the message this morning, you stand to your feet. And if you don't feel it, don't worry about it. You know what I mean. There's a stir. There's a fire. There's something going on in there. There's the whirly. Just raise your hands, if you would. And we'll just let God be God. Lord, I just thank you for the stir in amongst your people. I thank you, Lord God, that you're stirring for your plan and purpose, for your desire. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for the calling of God. Lord, I thank you that you set them apart. You set us apart. We're the set apart ones. Hallelujah. And there's something churning on the inside of these people for your reason, for your heart and intent. I pray, Lord God, that we just give it all to you. Lord, our words, our desire, our coming, our going. I thank you, Lord God, you use it. Lord, that we would be a part of the apostolic call upon the earth, Lord, through your church. Lord, that maybe not apostle, maybe not in the office, but Lord, the intent of the Spirit of God to send us, for us to be envoys and ambassadors and give strength in Jesus' name. Every tactic of the enemy that would try to distract or dissuade or discourage or bring empathy or lethargy, in Jesus' name, I cut you off, the people of God. The blood of Jesus is against you. And I thank you for strengthening their legs to run in the day we live, their backs to be strong, to never face, Lord, any situation, they would sound retreat. They would move forward in Jesus' name. And I hear the call of God saying, go, 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 go over your life. Lord, we just resound with that. Lord, we receive that today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all his people said, amen. Hallelujah.